morning in the line of fire. I see last night, but the Caldwells and the Backuses and different ones are here this morning, and appreciate you coming on today. There's Miss Judy showed up. All right, she got here. And boy, they worked hard last night. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name. Judges, the 6th chapter. We're going to look at traits of a champion. In fact, I want to subtitle this one this morning, The Making of a Champion. Now, last week, just a little quick review, we talked about the traits of a champion, and remember, number one was that they run to win. Paul made it clear that, you know what, this is a cause for Christ, and he is running to win. And remember what we said last week? If you're going to be a real champion, this is what you need to know, and this is what you need to nail down. Remember, Coach Rose, you need to nail this down. If you're going to be a real champion, Lucy and Steve had a bet going. If I'd mentioned Michael Phelps, I said he's got honorable mention this morning. Michael Phelps, one of the eight golds now, and almost every one of them's got a world record with it, doesn't he? You know. But I want to tell you something. If Michael Phelps, and I don't know his spiritual condition, but I know this. If he doesn't know Christ as his personal Savior, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so I know if he doesn't know Christ, and if his plane went down on the way home, he wouldn't be a champion anymore. So the number one thing we need to realize about being the trait of a champion is they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because that way you're assured of winning for eternity. I mean, that's when you cross over and when you're here. And so that's the number one thing. And then we looked at Paul. He's, you know what? And we said, you know, winners, they give no place to distractions. Remember, he said, I'm not just shadow boxing and I'm not playing around. Have you noticed the athletes in Beijing? I mean, they're focused, aren't they? They're not playing. You can tell. They come to win. And some of them crack under the pressure. You ever cracked under pressure? Some of them crack under the pressure. One of the little gymnasts fell off the beam. I mean, just jumped up on there and fell right off. And then she did her flip and then fell right backwards. She was our leader, actually, of the women's gymnastic. And so, distractions, whether it's competing for a gold or competing for just having a God-honoring day. How many of you ever noticed when you're trying to get up and have a God-honoring day, there's all kinds of distractions? Stupid people in front of you driving stupid. I talked to a guy yesterday. I went out to the lake on my motorcycle and just rode around a little while Jana was getting her nails and stuff done for the wedding. And I come back and I saw one of my old friends, and he said his son, talking about distraction, his son slid his motorcycle. Somebody on 89th and Walker turned right in front of him. They said it's the number one for all you motorcycle people in here. We're getting more in the that's the number one accident thing is people turning left in front of you. So remember, if they got their signal on, just blink your lights and wave and do all kinds of stuff. And so, but he broke 20 in his legs and 21 bones in his body. 21. How many knows that's a distraction? Both legs, and so here he is trying to, you know. But life is just full. We never know what's going to distract us from just having a God-honoring day. And we talked about that a little bit in our prayer meeting this morning. So don't get distracted. You know, and the last part we talked about was they have laser focus on their target. And he said, I have a goal. Paul said, I have a goal, and I run with purpose in every step. And I'm telling you that if you do that, you'll just be a prosperous person. If you'll have something, your eye fixed on something, for all of you that's going to school and things, the best thing advice I could give you is have your target out there and have your purpose in every step. Is that taking you closer to your God-honoring goal that you have set for you? That's one of the greatest things you and I can do for ourselves. Here's my target, and it's a God-honoring goal. And what can I do today and tomorrow and the next day just to get me a little bit closer to that goal? And so that's what we looked at last week. This week I want to show you a champion in the making. And this is a story that I think it's a classical story about a champion in the making, because there's so many times that we don't believe what God believes about us. How many knows when God looks at you, he looks at a champion when he looks at you? He really does. And so many times we get distracted and things are hammering on us and we don't feel like a champion. How many's ever just felt like a failure, to be honest, you know? Wow. You're honest, aren't you? And so we have to fight all these feelings. And that's the way Gideon was. Gideon had to fight all these feelings about who he was. And God began to speak into his life. And I want to show you the making of a champion. And for some of you that maybe today you maybe you feel like a failure. You know, you can tell me what you ain't. And I want you to start telling me what you are. Huh? Because that's what God says. The Bible starts off and the children of Israel have been disobedient. How many knows when you're disobedient, God has a plan for you? And he says, there is a plan for you. It's not a pleasant plan, but God has a plan for you and me when we are disobedient. Just kind of like your parents. If you've got good parents, they have a plan for you. How many's got good enough parents that every time you were disobedient, they was just real faithful to meet you right there and tell you there's a plan for you? Yeah. See, that's a good parent. That's a good parent that will meet you there. Now, they need to meet you there with love and passion, but they need to meet you there with righteousness and say, and there's consequences if you step over this line. God's the same way, and so they had been disobedient, and now they're reaping the harvest of disobedience. And Gideon is hiding behind the wine press, and he's trying to scratch out a living, wondering where God is. This is the kind of self-esteem that he has at this moment, and the kind of outlook he has on himself. In fact, he makes a statement when God calls on him. He says, hey, here's what I want you to know. My tribe is the least in the tribe of Israel, and I am the least in my tribe. How many's ever felt like the least in your tribe, you know? Well, you're in the right place today, because that's how Gideon felt. And God said, no, that's not who you are. That's who you think you are, but here's who you are. So let's look at the story. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 11, angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, and which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So he's out trying to just eke out a living. And by the way, some of you are kind of like where Gideon is, just trying to eke out a living. And maybe it's not financially that you're trying to eke out a living, but I mean, it's just peace in the house would be nice. You know, peace in the family would be nice. A little order in the family would just be nice, you know. And so we're just trying to say, you know, we're just trying to get things in order, and we feel a lot like Gideon from time to time. And it says in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. It's probably the last thing that you and I would have said as we saw him crouched down trying to scrape out enough to eat for dinner, you know. Would say, it'd been the last thing that we'd thought, well, look at that coward, you know. Look at that poor thing. We'd have had empathy, sympathy, whatever for him, but we probably wouldn't have. And by the way, we need to watch what we have for ourselves when we're trying to have a pity party and God's looking at us and say, what are you so sad about? You're a champion. Because what we can do is we can talk ourselves right out of all the blessings that God has for us. Are you with me? And so he looks at him and he says, you mighty man of... The Lord is with you. Point number one, the Lord is with you. In fact, if you would, instead of putting the Lord is with me, the Lord is with you, just write this down. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Everybody say that. The Lord is with me. See? I mean, if you know the Lord is with you, you can go back in the Bible and you can see where he was with the three Hebrew children, and when they went in the fire furnace, it had no power over them. And all you can say is, you know what? That means when I'm going through the heated battle, the Lord is with me. In fact, I think that's when he shows up the most, he's the most transparent, is when we're going through the heat of the battle, if we call on him. See, they said before they went into the fire, our God is able. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. And he's able to deliver us from the fire. But whatever his choice is, we will not bow to you. Because they knew the Lord was with them. When David took the battlefield, he said, I come to you what? In the name of the Lord. He knew the Lord was with him. I'm telling you, church, it's really important that we know when we're going through life, good or bad, we need to know the Lord is with us. How many of you ever, just be honest with me for a minute, say, sometimes it feels like the Lord is not with me. Well, all you that just raise your hand in honesty, the Lord is with you. Don't make me tell you again. The Lord is with you. Say, the Lord is with me. He's with me. Our kids just starting back to school. The Lord is with you. He won't do your homework for you, but He's with you. If you're just starting a new venture in life, you know, it was so funny last night. It was late, and Alicia was tired, and she's getting ready to go, and she thanked me again. I gave her a hug. I said, I'll see you in the morning. I said, just kidding. Lord is with you. Just gone. The Lord is with you. Yeah. Starting a new venture this morning, and marriage, and the honeymoon is now, but a few months later from now, the Lord is with you. They'll get all the I love yous, all the gooey stuff we watched last night, and they need to get it out and watch it again in a few months. They need to watch the video where she said, he's an angel, he is so considerate, he's all this stuff. They'll have to get that out and watch it, because, and they have to know the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. They'll need to know that. And I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter. I just want you to get that in your spirit today, because it matters. The Lord is with you. The angel told Gideon, the Lord is with you. And Gideon wasn't convinced. He's like some of you that raised your hand. You're not convinced. But here's what we have to remember. Our circumstances has nothing to do with God being with us. Because here's what I know. He'll help me. He'll deliver me from, or He'll deliver me through, but He is with me. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. You know why? Because he knew the Lord was with him. Now, his friends didn't know. I've been going through Job in my devotion. I think, what a sorry bunch of friends. How many got Job-like friends? You know, don't raise your hand. Sorry, friends. Job, now I tell you what, if you aren't sinning, if there wasn't hidden sin in your life, God punishes people's sins, and you're being punished. If you would just come clean, and Job said, I am clean. Now, bless his heart. But he knew the Lord was with him. He said, I can't find him right now, but I know he's here somewhere. He kept looking for the Lord. And I'm telling you, in your circumstances, be like Job. Even when your body's sick and you've lost precious loved ones and things, just know the Lord is with you. Get that in your spirit. The Lord is with you. When you prayed and it didn't come out like you thought it ought to come out, the Lord is with you. He'll help you through. He may not deliver you from this one, but He'll help you through. And just make that statement, the Lord is with me. David said it this way, the Lord is my shepherd. That means He's with me. He's watching over me. His rod and His staff, they're there for me, guiding me and prodding me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, he's saying, he's getting in his mind, God is with me. But it doesn't seem like God is with me. It looked like Saul's after me. He said, I'm not looking at Saul. I'm looking at the Lord that is with me. I'm looking at the Lord that's with me. This is a pretty good preaching step, ladies, I did, isn't it? Yeah. That's because now I'm going to pray supernatural power over me today. Let's just pray that supernatural power don't go long, okay?
Amen.
Second part. Oh, and by the way, work on your timing if you would there. Hebrews 13:5. The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, that's how you know the Lord is with you, because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I don't feel you, God. Well, quit feeling and start walking on faith. He's with you. He's with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous, victorious, righteous right hand. See, the Lord is with you. You don't have to feel it. You just have to know it. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Sometimes we're out the park and there'll be a little kid just running along. And look like they're just out there by themselves. But they're not. I've not seen one yet anyway at our park where we walk every day. And they may be off out there and they look like nobody's with them. But you just let somebody start toward them. You hear, Johnny! Kind of like he's with me. You know, somebody's with them. Somebody's with them. Huh? The Lord is with you. How many knows you and the Lord are a majority? Let me give you some good news. And the Lord's not only with you, He's happy to be with you. I know some of you. I wouldn't be real happy to hang around you all the time. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord is happy to be with you. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord's happy to be with me. That's good news, isn't it? Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's the way you love your children. Same way you love your children, except magnify that by 100. Because He said, I gave my Son for you. I love you. And the Lord loves you. He's happy. He's not only with you, He's happy to be with you. Every day of every moment. Point number two. He says to him in 6:12. Look at it. He says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Here's point number two. You possess the traits of a champion. He called him a mighty man of valor, didn't he? When he was out and he was hiding behind the wine press and scared out of his wits. He was discouraged. He thought he's the least of the least. He didn't think there was any good that could come through him. And God looked at him and said, you mighty man of valor. See, sometimes we look at a champion by the outward appearance. All the athletes, they look like champions, don't they? But in what we're preaching and teaching, some of them may be lost as they can be. And they're not, in essence, a champion. We know people that have a lot of fame and fortune and they wind up with suicide or overdosing or, you know, because they're not champions. They look like they have everything going, but they don't. But God looks at Gideon and He says, you mighty man of valor. He was calling the things out, and that's what I'd like for Him to do for you all today. Some of you that have low self-esteem today, I'd like for Him to call up the champion that's laying dormant in you and let you know that you possess today, not someday or you used to, but today, you possess the traits of a champion today. You do. You mighty man of valor. How many knows that God has put a gift in every person that He's called? Every person has a gift of service, and you may not, whether you know it or not, you have it, whether you believe it or not, you have it, whether you utilize it or not, you have a gift. In fact, I heard this the other day on TV, is the comedy thing, although that is so true, it's why it made it so funny. But how many guys in here, let me ask you this, how many guys, maybe some of you girls do it too, but here's a kind of a glimpse that there's a champion wanting to get out that's inside of you. How many guys in here, when you have a piece of paper, you don't just throw your trash in the paper, you shoot your trash? Let me see your hand, come on. Wow, look at all that. Now, how many guys would be honest to go a step further and say this? You say, you know what, I not only shoot my trash, but if I make it, I just won the game. Come on, let me see your hand. Yeah. Yeah. All the rest of you liars, you just give up hope. Come on, be renewed again. Yeah. Isn't that funny? But she said that. She said, men don't throw it. They shoot their trash. And I thought, yeah, we not only shoot it, but we win the game. And if we miss it, we run over and grab it and send it. And he got his own rebound and score! All that is a champion, you know. You want to be a champion of something. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that, you know what, the greatest champion you can be is using the gift that God gave you to play on. If you got the gift of helps, like some of the people did at the wedding last night, which made, and all of you that helped here and out at the reception, that made that one occasion for this little couple, made it a special occasion. And so you were the champions last night that said we pulled together and we were a gold medal team to make one night for a couple special. Those are champions. And if we were at the ceremony today, you know, here would be, and ladies and gentlemen, for the United States of America, serving the last week and coming in first, Rex Backus on the sound. Dun, 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 you know, and then, yeah. 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 now wait, now the best part's come, because see, I served last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, serving till 1:30 in the morning. Pastor, Jack,
dun, 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 you know. I stayed up too late last night, didn't I? Yeah. That's a hero. A hero is saying, I got gifts and I'll use it. I had one, Mr. Murphy came up to me. I didn't tell you. Mr. Murphy came up to me and said, Pastor, you got obligations in the morning, don't you? I said, yeah, as soon as I get these done, I'll be on my obligation in the morning. Because sometimes you've got to be a servant, right? He said, that's right. That's right. You do. Yeah. See. So somebody noticed. Aren't you preaching in the morning? Me and Mark said, they said, man, I don't know if I'll be there or not. I told Mark, I'm not going. Are you going? Just having fun with it. But I'm telling you, and we're having fun with it, but I'm telling you, never take lightly what you did for this occasion. Never take that. What you did this weekend for somebody else, mowing their lawn or helping somebody that meant something to them, never take that lightly, because God looks at you and says, that's a trait of a champion. You're using your gift of service. You're using your gift of help. You're using your gift of leadership. Whatever it is, and God is going to reward you just like the Olympians are being rewarded. I love it. Now I relate to leaders. We were around here this weekend, and I forget her name. She says short hair, light brown eyes. I gave her a nickname anyway, because every time the crowd got out of order, she'd say, "Hey y'all, bride and groom fixing to cut the cake."
Karen.
Is that Karen? I said to her, I know your name. She said, what's my name? I said, your name's Bossy May. she got this grin on her face, and she said, my name, I guess it was Karen. And I said, you know what? I said, I love people like you. You're a leader, aren't you? She said, yes, sir, I am. I said, I'm a leader too. And I said, I like to see people when it's getting scattered, somebody to say, hey! I got the wheel, and here's where we're going. Let's keep focus, you know. And so we had a good time with that. You know what she told me last night? She said, I think when I get married, I'm going to come to your church, have you marry us. See, all I did was identify with another leader. Kisha thought I was in trouble. But see, it's the follow-up. It's the follow-up. Yeah. It's the follow-up. Here's why I know you possess the traits of a champion. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. How many knows you are made in the image of God and His likeness? You are. And then 27 said, so God did. He created man in His image and His likeness. Psalms 139:14, the Living Bible says this, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. Some of you just need to be reminded, like Gideon, that you're a champion. There's a champion on the inside of you, and you possess it today. It's not something now you may develop what God's give you, but it's already there. You're a mighty man or woman of valor, just in the same right as Gideon. I remember, in fact, let me ask you this. Here's another one, and this guy's our girl. How many have a superhero growing up? That you just wanted to kind of be like that, Batman or mine was Superman, not these modern ones. It was the original. How many loved the original Superman? Yeah, look at all the old people in the building. Yeah, the original Superman. I can remember in black and white TV watching the original Superman, husky, just man of steel. And he went around doing good wherever he went. No charge. He was like Jesus, just going around touching people, doing good, no charge. And remember, and then he would transform, and he'd bound, and he'd take off out the window and flying around just looking for somebody to help. And when I was little, this is no kidding, my mama had a towel that had powers. How many of y'all mama had, she had a towel that had power? When you put it on, you became Superman. I can remember that. I'm not kidding. In fact, when I was about 6 years old, I remember pinning that on one morning. And my uncle was there. I was wanting to impress my uncle. I thought, he don't even know Superman's in the house. I can remember, I'm just 6 years old, and I was eating breakfast, just finished up, and I got up and pinned my towel on, and I said, and I was, you know, my uncle's there, I said, like the kids do, hey, Daddy, what's this? And Superman took off, and I bounded off, and I had my cape, and I was running toward the window, getting ready to fly out the window, and I found out, sometimes when you first start being Superman, it's harder to stop than it is to start. And Superman went through the window. I looked, and there was no blood. I thought, I am Superman. And then Superman remembered, you just broke your daddy's window. So Superman's next thought was, you are in trouble. And then guess what Superman did next? Look, they come over and check. Are you good? No. What's the matter? I can't get a woman. Superman did cry, by the way. I know he did. My dad was so cool. And listen, parents. Some of you need to get a hold of this because you can quench Superman's spirit when they do dumb stuff. But my dad says, he looked at my mother and he said, Irene, move that sewing machine, see if Superman can go through the other window. Superman's done for the day, Dad, you know. One window per day, please. But he didn't break my spirit, you know. He let me know that day, you know what, you're more important than a window. You're okay. We can fix the window and you're all right, and he knew that I felt bad about it. And so sometimes when you're trying to train these little heroes, it's best to say, you know what, just let them alone. The last lecture, the professor, one of the things that I got out of his book, Randy Pausch, is that the way he says his last name? He said his dad and mom let him draw stuff all over his walls and stuff. And I thought, you know, be a parent like that, that says, you know, let them express themselves. And I'm not, you know, trying to give liberty for things that don't need to be done, but just be a parent that says, God, help me nurture the traits that you put in them, because they're there already. And sometimes parents, it's hard to see, isn't it, when they're rebellious and doing dumb stuff, but I guarantee the traits are there in the kids. So we need to pray about helping us nurture that. How many knows, however our children turned out, remember who raised them? I know, it's sad, isn't it? But how many knows we're going to be held accountable?
That's right.
For this generation that we're raising, complaining about. So stop complaining and start focusing on helping them develop their strengths. That's all I'm saying. The next thing he says to him, and by the way, Gideon is not convinced. I want to read the verse 13 from the Living Bible, Judges 6:13. He just calls him the mighty man of valor. This is the Living Bible. Gideon's response. This is Gideon's response. Stranger. And Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors have told us about, such as when God brought them out of Egypt? And the Lord has thrown us away. Did you get that? He's thrown us away and has let the Midianites completely ruin us. Does that sound like a mighty man of valor to you? Listen, church, focus on the traits that God has given you, strengths. We all have weaknesses, but you need to focus on what God has given you. You possess the traits of a champion. I read a story this week. Let me read you this real quick. I thought this was so hilarious. I read it to Jana the other night in a devotional book I bought. D.L. Moody says, a steamboat was stranded in the Mississippi River, and the captain could not get her off. Eventually, a hard-looking fellow came on board and said, "Captain, I understand you want a pilot to get you out of this difficulty." The captain said, "Are you a pilot?" "Well, they call me one," the man replied. "Do you know where the snags and the sandbars are?" "No, sir." "Well," asked the captain, "how do you expect to get me out of here if you don't know where the snags and the sandbars are?" "Because I know where they ain't," the man answered. Isn't that cute? See, some of you know where every snag in life is because you're just focused on it. That's the difference between a champion that achieves for God and the champions that don't. The champions that don't, they know where the snags aren't. I can go, you know, I can't carry this with me. That's a snag, you know. And so they just know where they're not. I can't do that one. You know, I'm maneuvering where they're not. And we have to decide that I'm going to run in the vein where they're not. Olympian champions, they run where there are no excuses. I love the little gymnast motto. No excuses, no regrets. No holding back, no regrets. You know, this is our day. We worked hard for it. Now let's tumble. Let's do it. You know where the snags weren't for them? In the gym every day. They could have been out there looking at all the snags, and that's what some of us need to get over. Quit looking at the snags and start looking where they're not. And taking the path that says, this is going to get me to where I'm going. This is my gift. I'll play on this gift till Jesus comes. Are you with me? I'll play on this gift until Jesus comes. Let me give you the next point. Champions operate on faith, not on feelings. See, Gideon's he's got a lot of things he's got to work out, and God was so gracious to him to show him all kinds of signs. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, he asked for a sign right off the bat. God complies, and then he says, "Oh, if it's really, really, really you," you know, he put the fleece out and let it be watered down and let the ground be dry, and he did that, and then he said, "Oh, but if it's really, 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 really you," and he says, "Let it be dry, the fleece be dry," and he went through all this stuff, and so we think we're different because we, God, is it really you? No, all the champions and the heroes struggle with that too. Is it God? Is it me? Is it, you know, what if it's not God? And what if I do this and it's not God? What's going to happen? You see? So, that doesn't mean you're any less of a champion than Gideon. He struggled with the same thing. Is this really God? Is it me? What is God? What is not? And so he had all those things. But the best I can give you, don't operate off what you feel at the time. Because how many knows your feelings are very deceptive? You know, they're very deceptive. And the last thing I want you to get is this. Number four, champions build an altar, and they visit it regularly. In verse 24, Bible says, "So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is Peace.'" And to this day, it's still in Oprah of the Abba Ezraites. And so he built an altar. Listen, how many knows what an altar is? And I hope you have an altar. You know what an altar is? An altar is any place where you meet God. You know, you don't have to get hung up on having some lavish room or some... It's just where you feel comfortable meeting God. Now, you have to be careful if it's too comfortable because you go to sleep. But it's a place where you and God meet. And not only an altar, here's what's key for an altar. Altar is not only a place where you meet God, but an altar is a place where God talks to you. See, an altar is not just a place where we come and pour our heart out and get up and we're off and I told God all about it. An altar is a place where I kneel before God or lay before God or walk before God. Some people like to walk and pray. That's an altar if you like to walk and pray. And so wherever you talk to God, and God talks to you. How many just say, "Well, God has never talked to me"? Let me see your hand. Anybody? God has never talked to me. Here's what I want you to get. When you talk to God, you're pouring your heart out to God. And when God talks to you, it is every time you open this book. God is talking to you. Every time. This is the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. And so as you go to your altar, you ought to take this with you, because if you don't hear Him audibly, you'll hear Him right here. This is His Word. These principles and this Word works today just like it did the day that He gave it. It worked for Gideon. It worked for David. It worked for the three Hebrew children. It worked for Paul. It worked for Jesus when Jesus was at the altar and He said, God, if this cup can pass, let it pass. And God said, no, remember the Word. You're the Lamb of God. You're the supreme sacrifice. And He went to the altar and obeyed God, and God didn't deliver him from it, but He took him through it because he remembered the Word of God. This is God talking to you. This is not just some pages filled with words that you, to make you have warm fuzzies. This is the living Word of God. And there's something special about taking it to your altar, because now at our altar is when we push out the world for a little while. And we focus on God and His will for our lives. And that's when God really can speak to you. Every time that I'm preparing a sermon, whether it's in my reading room or in my office or wherever it's at, that's my altar to God. And that's when He begins to reveal to me the written Word. And then He gives me application for today, because He's speaking to me in our day and time. That's my altar. So don't forget to take your altar. Gideon said, you'll find there the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace. Listen, if you're in turmoil today, I'm telling you, you need to spend time at the altar, because there you can find Jehovah Shalom. Amen. The God of peace. There you can find Jehovah, my provider, if you have needs. And the list goes on and on. That's why he said, who should I tell them has sent me? When Moses went to Egypt, remember what he said? Tell them, I am has sent you. I am what? Well, whatever you need, I am. You need healing? I am. You need money? I am. You need peace? I am. You need direction? I am. That's why you can't name him, because whatever you need, I am. Boy, I need to step 2 o'clock more often, don't I? Woo! It's 11:40. Oh, well, it's 11:41 and I'm done. 11:42, it just changed. But I want you to know today, church, you are champions. And the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Everybody say, the Lord is with me. Everybody say this, I possess the traits of a champion. God's not only with me. He loves to be with me. He gave me the traits of a champion. I will use them for His glory. I will meet Him at the altar. And I will be victorious. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for all the champions that are in this building today. Each one have been fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. They possess the traits of a champion, if they'll just use them. Today, I pray that you would inspire old dreams and old aspirations and hopes that have gone dormant. They used to run with such vigor and such passion. Kind of like the church that you looked at them, or Paul looked at them and said, you did run well, who hindered you? Maybe it's just life, but today I pray that stir up the gifts, Holy Spirit, that's in all of these champions in this building today. Remind them again that you've given them a gift or gifts and bring them back to life in the name of Jesus. Today as they meet you at the altar, bring peace that passes understanding. Bring direction that's clear and brings hope to them, and they can run this race with hope and great expectancy. And revive your champions today, Lord, just like you did when you came and visited Gideon on that day when he was hiding behind the wine press. And you looked at him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Today, church, the Lord is with you, you mighty men and women of valor.